God is a good, good God, isn't He? And He is a good, good Father. And appreciate the Lord Jesus this morning and Him coming to this old sinful, vile, vicious world and becoming that lamb for us without spot and without blemish. And we're so very thankful for Him perfecting His saints through His Son. And because of that, we have eternal life. That starts now. That starts now if you're saved. Our time with Jesus starts now. It starts with a walk with Him in this world. And then one day we'll see Him face to face where we'll live eternally worshiping Him. And so what a blessing that is. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church this morning. I want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here. And Happy Father's Day to those that may be tuning in, watching by way of Facebook. We appreciate you each and every week tuning in, and that is a tremendous blessing as well. I just want to say I'm proud of Imani. I came in and I heard somebody playing on the piano, and the keyboard didn't see David there. That was Imani, and wonderful job there, buddy. So very proud of him. And I looked and I seen, well, I don't think that's pre-recorded. His fingers are moving and all. But anyway, what a blessing that was. So good to have young people with talent serving the Lord. What a blessing that is. And again, today we are celebrating fathers. I do want to say, if you would, just stay a moment or two after service this morning. And all fathers will receive a pie. We'll receive a pie. And just a... not a whole entire circular pie, but just a person like me takes that seriously when I hear something about pies. So I want to be specific with you, whether you care or not. Just a nice turnover kind of pie. Miss Brother Allen, Miss Terry, Terry Allen, and both of them making and preparing last night. And what a blessing. I know Miss Terry's watching. Thank you for your labor of love, Miss Terry, making these pies. And they're so, so very good. We appreciate that. All right. It's good to be here this morning. You glad you're here? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's just honor the Lord this morning through worship, through music, and also through a message here in just a little while. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn things back over to Brother Allen. Let me just say there's no PM service tonight. Spend time with your families. Father, we come in Jesus' name today, and we are so very thankful that though mother and father may forsake us, though we may not have sister or brother, you, Lord Jesus, are that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. You are a father to the fatherless. God, because of you, you give us hope while we're here. A hope, Lord, not a hope so, but a so hope. We have a confident expectation that one day we will be with you. It's going to happen, it's for sure, it's settled. But also you give us hope and encouragement while we're here. Living our lives, chasing after Jesus, wanting to receive all the things you have for us now, we're thankful that you, Father, give us hope and encouragement. You give us grace and mercy each and every day, and we're so very thankful for that. I'm proud to be a child of God, a child of the King. His royal blood flows through my veins. So very thankful. So very thankful this morning. May all of us fathers try to replicate you as being a faithful father. God, I pray in the next few moments as we sing to you and we open the scriptures, I pray that you would be in control, Holy Spirit, and that you would be honored and praised. And I pray that you would help us communicate the truths of your word to the hearts of your people. We love you today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It is good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you'll stand with me, choir, if you'll stand also, turn over to page number 120. Everyone stand, everyone sing together about the victory we have in Jesus. and sing together now.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood atoning, and I rebuilt of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is new. He plunged me to victory.
All the blast now.
I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the orbit itself soaring. And I
of the Lord. If you're visiting with us today, you're a special guest. I don't see anyone visiting for the first time, but we do have some visitors, and we're very thankful for that. And once you've been here a couple of weeks, we just consider you home, folks. Amen? But it is good to see everyone. I know there's some that are traveling, probably some with their families today for Father's Day. And let me just say to you, happy Father's Day. And it was a joy and a privilege to get up a little bit early this morning and make some pies. It is not a whole pie, but it is a hand pie. That's what they call it, I guess, a fried pie. And I hope that you enjoy them. We have apple and peach. There's plenty here to go around. All the fathers, please take those home with you, because if you don't, I'll have to, and I sure don't need to take them home with me. I've seen enough of them today, so you take them home with you and enjoy. But it is an honor and a privilege to be able to share those with you today. Let me just say again that we do have some traveling, and a lot of those, you'll notice that my family's not here with me today. That's because Carter is playing in a tournament in Savannah, Georgia. Who would have ever thought that on a Father's Day weekend? But they're in Savannah today, and it hasn't been a real eventful past couple of days. They were just playing in the brackets to try and see where they were going to play in the tournament today. They've had the first game, and the Braves are my favorite team outside of one team, and that's the Warriors. And that's Carter's team. They won the first game in the tournament this morning in overtime and the extra innings. Amanda, I think she called it overtime. It's extra innings, okay? So they're doing well. But pray the Lord to bring them back home safely, as well as everyone else that might be traveling today. But just pray for them. It'll get a little warmer as the day goes on. And I pray the Lord just keep them safe and give them a great time down there. But we do miss them being here with us today. And I miss a lot of folks not able to be with us today. But let's go to him in a word of prayer. Again, no service this evening. Spend time with your fathers. I told the choir this morning, if you can get to your father today, please let him know that you love him. If you can't, please call him on the phone. There'll come a time when you might not be able to get to your father. My father's with the Heavenly Father, and I'll see him again in the very near future. And days go short. Sometimes seem to go so fast. But soon we'll be reunited again in a land far better than this. Amen? And so a little bit of a sad day for some. But I pray that you just have a great day today. spend time with your families, enjoy the beautiful weather the Lord's given us. A little bit of coolness in there this morning compared to the past couple of days, and we're very thankful for that. But let's go to him in a word of prayer. Pray for our pastor today as he brings a message. Pray for the choir as we sing. Let's worship the Lord in spirit and in truth today. We'll be able to go home today and say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Lord, thank you for just allowing us to live another day here, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to be in your house, to worship you as we, Lord, unite together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for those that might be visiting with us today. Lord, I pray that they'll feel at home today in the house of the Lord. We have the choirs we sing in a few moments. Again, accept our worship and our praise. Be with our pastor today. Speak through him what we need to hear. May our hearts and our minds be open to receive your word. If there's someone here today that's never accepted you, may this be the day that they come to know you as the Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, we do again praise you and thank you for the opportunity to be here. Give us a great day. Lord, bless all the fathers today. We'll praise you and thank you for it all. In Jesus' name. love now abides. And where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm a child of the King. And it's all because I am redeemed.
I am redeemed. Walk with Christ. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I.
I'll tell of God's favor. I'll tell you of His love. I'll tell of His goodness, God's goodness to me. For He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood. And from sin I've been set free.
It's been a long, long road, and my soul has grown so weary. I just can't understand all the struggles within me. There have been times I've strayed away, even times I could not pray. Somehow my faith would say, just hold on, there's a brighter day. He never gave up, He never gave up. Mercy reached down, that was enough. If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. He never once ever gave up on me. If your back's against the wall and you feel all hope is gone, if you walked in and asked yourself, is there a reason to go on? Well, He looks beyond your guilt and shame. You see His mercy, it takes the blame. So just forget about your past and pray.
Thank the Lord for his long suffering toward usward. Thank God he never gave up on us before we got saved and after we got saved. Appreciate the singing this morning, and appreciate the special just now. I want to share something with you that I typically like to do on Father's Day, and sometimes I share it other times during the course of the year. So go ahead and make your way to 2 Chronicles 29. And while you're turning there, 2 Chronicles 29, I went to visit my dad probably the first trip since he was in the assisted living in Roberta, Georgia, down near Macon. Went to go visit him 4 or 5 years ago for the first time. And walked in the assisted living center, never been there before. And looked in the lobby, and in the very center of the lobby, there was the living room, the common area. And I don't know, there was probably 25, 30 people in there that lived there. Most of them were men, and I'll probably say, I don't know, about 20 of them that day that were men. And I had a friend of mine that was with me, Ben Tidwell, and I walked in and I looked and I see my dad. He was over backed in against the wall watching something on TV, and I just stopped for a moment. I said, "Ben, watch this." It just came to my mind, just out of nowhere. And I shouted out my dad's name through that common area. I was outside of the double doors. You couldn't even see me, barely, unless you was looking. And out of all of those men, only my dad turned and looked toward me. Think about that for a moment. That could have been anybody's child calling out their father's name, but it was my dad that looked toward me, and then he started smiling. You say, what does that have to do with me this morning, Brother Justin? We have a Heavenly Father that recognizes our individual cries unto him. What a blessing it is that we can call unto him today. If you're in any stress or duress, you can call unto Jesus, and he recognizes your voice. Well, praise the Lord. That was my experience. It was a good day. 2 Chronicles this morning, chapter number 29. I want to bow for a word of prayer. And then I want to read verse number 1 and verse number 2 this morning. And then we'll bring the message. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for who you are. I say it time and time again, but we really do. We praise you for who you are. You're the God that knows everything. You have all power. You're everywhere at the same time. So thank you for being who you are. Today we pray that you'd guide us in the scriptures. I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Holy Spirit, use this message that we've been meditating on to be a blessing, not only to fathers, but to mothers and to children, everyone here today. And we'll praise you and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Notice if you would in verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 29 in verse number 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. I want to stop reading there. That's reading 2 Chronicles 29, verse number 1 and verse number 2. Let me say this morning, as we get the message rolling, that out of all the kings in Judah, Hezekiah was the most obedient to God, in my own estimation. That's what I believe. And I believe the scriptures bear that out. This king, King Hezekiah, no doubt was a godly king that led his people. On the contrary, or on the other hand, his father, Ahaz, was one of the very worst kings in Israel's history. Look back in chapter number 28 and verse number 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David, his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images of Balaam. So we have a big contrast this morning. That of Hezekiah, the most obedient king, and then Ahaz, the father, the worst king or the most disobedient king. And this morning we could definitely use up all of the service contrasting the two. And there's much to be said about these two. But for the sake of time and seeing that we only have one service today, there is no evening service. Again, we mentioned that. Now we're going to center our attention and we're going to focus solely upon that of Hezekiah this morning. Hezekiah. And I want to focus our attention upon him and just a brief, a simple overview of his life. Now, today's Father's Day, but again, I want to say this morning that not only is this message for fathers, but this message is for mothers. This message is for sisters and brothers. this message is for everybody this morning. And so this morning, I want to do my best to be a blessing and a help. You made your way to the house of God, and you need to hear from God. And so that's how we're going to approach this morning. I want to mention a few things about the life of Hezekiah as an overview. turn back to chapter 29. First of all, I want you to notice that Hezekiah was godly. He was godly. Look in verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Hezekiah was a godly person. Hezekiah was a godly king. You asked this morning, Brother Justin, how was Hezekiah such a godly person, king and leader? It's a very simple answer I'll give you. You ready for it? Hezekiah was a godly person and king because he decided to follow God. That's how this man was a godly king. He decided to follow God. Again, in verse number 2, the Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord because he loved the Lord. So therefore, he was a follower of God. Let me just say this morning, that you will become like the things or the people that you follow. If you follow rock stars, guess what? You're eventually going to start talking like one and looking like one. If you follow some of these depraved Hollywood actors and watch some of their movies and really have a big feel and desire over who they are and their personal life, eventually you'll start acting like them. And so the question is this morning to all of us, but specifically to us fathers, who are we following? What is it in our life that we have as the centerpiece? Are we following the Lord? Are we following God? Or is there a different centerpiece in our life? Is sports the centerpiece in our life as fathers? Now listen, I'm like Brother Allen. I love baseball. And I love the Braves. But the Braves, I don't miss church for the Braves. I don't spend the money I earn, my paycheck, on Braves tickets. I don't idolize the Braves at all. I love the Braves, but the Braves are definitely not the centerpiece in my life. What's the centerpiece in your life? Is it money? Are you motivated by money in your life? Are you motivated by drugs in your life? Sex and drugs and rock and roll and all of those things that come with it. What is it in your life that has full dominance? I'll tell you, if you keep on following whatever it is that you're following, eventually you'll start talking, looking, and acting like the things you follow. And I want to charge and challenge, and including myself this morning, all fathers to follow God. Just to follow Him. Go after Him. Now, I want to say not only was Hezekiah, he was a godly man because he followed God. He was a godly man, but also Hezekiah was a godly man in spite of his upbringing. Think about this for a moment. His father Ahaz did not the things that pleased the Lord. And his father was king for the amount of years that he said he was. Back in chapter 28 and verse number 1, 16 years. And so we have this father figure also wearing a second hat as king. And he's ruling and reigning as a disobedient king. Now it came time for Hezekiah to get in that seat. He was heir to the throne. He was the next one in place. And he could have got in that seat and said, well, you know what? I guess I'm just going to be like my dad. That's the only, you know, that's the only kind of leadership I had in my life. He was king, and I saw him, how he lived, and saw how he acted and carried himself, and wasn't a very good man. But you know what? If he couldn't rise above his circumstances, if he couldn't do no better than he did in his leadership, I can't either. And so I'm just going to be like my dad. He didn't do that. Hezekiah didn't do that. Hezekiah had a choice to make in his life, whether he was going to allow the impact on his ungodly father to influence his life and his leadership or not. He had to make a choice. Now we're living in times where a lot of people, they make excuses as to why they are the way they are. Well, I'm a high school dropout because my daddy was. I'm a drinker because my daddy was a drinker. I'm a drugger because my daddy was a drugger. Now, I will say that there is a type of dependency when it comes to the brain, and some things can be passed on to their children, and it's a hard way to enter this world with a chemical dependency upon drugs or alcohol because it was of the father's genetics. But there's still power to be free from that. Even if you're born maybe a baby that was exposed to drugs, the parent exposed to drugs and such, there's still freedom and liberty from those generational sins. The question is this morning, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Will you continue to use your father or mother, sister or brother as an excuse to you not being where you would like to be in life? The place that you're at today and the struggles that you have, are you taking full responsibility for those? Or are you placing them on mom and dad? You see, I believe that there comes a point in time in our lives where we have to own up, make our own choices and decisions. Quit pointing the finger at others and just say, it's me, O Lord, that needs a touch from God. It's me, O Lord, and my wicked heart that needs to be changed. My heart's not wicked because of my dad. My heart's not desperately deprived because of my mother. My heart is wicked and deprived because I was born a sinner. So this morning, it's not mama's fault. This morning, it's not daddy's fault. Yeah, we may have been born against all odds. But listen, the Lord Jesus this morning, he wants to come into your heart, and he wants to come into your life, and he wants to be Lord. He wants to be Lord. And so we see Hezekiah this morning. By the way, that's the title of the message, Hezekiah. He was godly. And he was godly because he followed God. And he followed God because of a decision that he made to follow God. Now, let me mention a second thing about Hezekiah. Not only he was godly, but he was focused. He was godly, but then he was focused. Let me mention this before this point. I'm getting ahead of myself. He was godly, but then he was courageous. Listen to this. I want you to think about it with me for just a moment about the time when the administration changed in leadership. Just think for one moment. Under the last administration, Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, walked not in the ways of the Lord. Turn back, if you would, to chapter 28. We know in verse number 1, it says, about middle ways through, that he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. He actually led the people of God astray into idolatry, is what Ahaz did. Verse number 2, the Bible says that he made molten images of Balaam. He says, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images of Balaam. And so there was this precedent that was set in his leadership. Whatever God suits your fancy. Whatever image you want, you can worship. There was a liberty of worship and a standard that was set where you don't have to worship the God of Judah. You worship the God that you want to worship. I'm worshiping Balaam. You worship what you want to worship. This was an evil king. This was a godless king. Verse number 3, the Bible says that he burnt incense in the valley of Hinnom. Listen to this, verse 3. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Listen to this. And burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He burned his children in the fire. The valley of Hinnom. If you do a study on some of these biblical places, we did a study one time on the gates of Israel, Jerusalem, and how Nehemiah went to repair all the gates. And excuse me, there was one specific gate called the Dung Gate. And the Dung Gate, when it was opened, people would walk out of the Dung Gate. And it would lead a trail to a place called, basically, it was a valley, the Valley of Hinnom. And then there was a trash pile out there where all the trash in Jerusalem was taken out to be burned. And so that would be the future place of the Valley of Hinnom. And doing that study one time, I learned that there was a false god, the god of Molech, who would have fires in the Valley of Hinnom and would burn the children of the area, would burn, parents would take their kids and burn them in honor of this god. And at the same time, they would have drummers out there who would beat these big drums, boom, 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 because that would drown out the screams and the cries of the kids screaming for their lives. That's a sad thing. Many things we could say about this Valley of Hinnom, but I'll say this one thing. There is a place called hell, and it is symbolic to the Valley of Hinnom, where there is people this morning who are screaming and who are crying because they're burning in a devil's hell this morning. It ought to break each and every one of our hearts that people are lost and they're dying without God. I have family members this morning. I have a grandpa that I'm still not assured if he's saved. And he's getting close to death. And I would hate to see him die and burn in hell after taking care of his family here on earth his whole life. My grandfather was so good to me. So you know what? It's my obligation to go over there and tell him the gospel one more time. There's people in your family. There's people in this world. We just need to be preaching the gospel. I got to get back to my main point here. The Valley of Hinnom. And so this wicked dad, Ahaz, he burnt incense in this Valley of Hinnom. Offered children there to be burned. What wicked, wicked leadership the last administration had. Worshiping any god that you wanted to worship. Burning kids in the valley. And now here comes Hezekiah. Man, this guy had to have courage. This guy had to be right with God in order to lead Israel out of the state of idolatry they were in. Not only that, but under Ahaz's leadership, they totally desecrated the temple of God and the things that pertained. Under Ahaz's leadership, the God of Judah was not valued, respected, or worshipped. Therefore, the people of Israel were used to that, and they were totally fine with that, and they were totally content with their gods and way of living. Wow, what an administration. What a challenge before King Hezekiah. Now I want to say that Hezekiah is now on the throne. He is the new king. He knows what he's up against, but he has the call of God upon his life. And the first task that he was committed to doing, I want you to notice back in chapter, if you're not already there, 29, the first task was taking out the trash. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. Church, there's so much here, I'm telling you right now. Look at verse number 3. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Well, praise the Lord there. Keep reading. And he brought in the priests and Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord of your fathers. Listen to this. And carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers which trespassed had done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. What a sad, sad commentary of the father of Hezekiah. But Hezekiah knew the job he had to do, and he said, number one, and in the first place, we're going to start in the temple and clean up the house of God. He says we're going to take out the filthiness. Look at verse 7. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. They put out the lamps. Lamps are used to burn and create light. God's house is supposed to be a place of light, not physically, but spiritually. This is supposed to be a place that you could come to and hear God's word, get saved and grow. And so in these days, the lamps were put out. The light went out. They were taken out. They were put out. There was no light in the house of God. There was false imagery and idols in the house of God. The priests were removed, and it was desecrated totally. And so Hezekiah's first move was to restore the house of God. The house of God needs to continue in our day on that right road. There are those who serve in the house of God. Of course, the Levitical priesthood are the ones who served in the temple at the table of showbread and kept the lamps burning, the sacrifices and all the rest. They did what they did. They kept it going. They had good leadership. God, help us keep things going. God, help us keep our hearts in the right places. Lord Jesus, help us not be like, or use a crutch, or use any excuse. Oh, my father was this way. Mother was, sister or brother, that's the way I am. No! We have our own choice this morning, and we must make a decision if we're going to live for Jesus and use his house for a hospital or not. Praise the Lord this morning of the life of Hezekiah. He was courageous. Now, look at verse, we're not going to read all of verse 12. There's a lot of names. And I probably couldn't get the first one right. But in verse 12, he says, read verse 11, then 12. Verse 11, my sons, be not now negligent. For the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Just want to stop briefly. You come to church to serve him. You don't come to church to serve anybody. Somebody has hurt your feelings. Guess what you do? You keep coming to church because you're coming to serve him. We have people who leave church. I've had people since we've been here. I'll just say a person, not people. But it happens. Every pastor, I sure, knows this. Brother Justin, I'm leaving the church. Why are you leaving the church? Sometimes I'll say it like that. You know, just take the ease off the seriousness of their complaint. Well, so-and-so hurt my feelings. And Brother Justin, you didn't even check on me this week. And I could use that as an opportunity to say, well, I was burying them and marrying them, making hospital visits and phone calls and preaching. I could say that. Well, I don't say that, though. I let them say what they want to say. And then it goes around to, let me ask you a question. did Jesus offend you? Did Jesus hurt you? Did this person die for you? Are they there for you to help you? Do they make sure you have their... Well, no, no, they don't. Yes, yes, Jesus died. Well, why are you leaving? Listen, if anyone leaves this church, any church, because they're offended, you will become a church hopper. Because the next church you go to, you're going to be offended. And the next church you'll go to, you'll be offended. And the next church you'll go to, you'll be offended. And then before long, you do like this. You're called a church hopper. Let's go over to Calvary and see. Woo, I love Calvary. Boy, they're a great church. 2 or 3 weeks into it, you're told no by leadership because they don't think it's fitting for Calvary's direction. And so you get your feelings hurt. I'm out of Calvary. I don't like that church. Let's go over here to Pleasant Hill. They're more of a suitable church for me. Something happens there. You know I'm telling the truth this morning. That's how it happens. And so therefore it is imperative that we fully know and why we're motivated as to why we come. We come to minister to the Lord. And it's the Lord that ministers to people. He told them in verse number 11 that ye should minister unto him, burn incense. So then verse 12 says, they didn't even say nothing, the Levites. They just, the Bible says, then the Levites arose and went to work. Check this out. Verse number 15 and 16. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves. That's how ministering to the Lord starts. It's ministering out of a sanctified heart. They sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And here it is again. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. The Levites cleaned house. God's house deserves to be clean. God's house must be clean spiritually. And I just don't know why sometimes that people think it's so crazy when we have to deal with church situations. When stuff goes and it carries on. And people think they can still come and stand and do things for the Lord. I mean, if you in a position of the church, no one's perfect. We're not asking for that. But live a repented life every day. No habitual, continual sin. Yes, we will all stumble, and yes, we will all fall. But to have a position in the church, you can't go to the bars. To have a position in the church, you can't be a drug user. I'm sorry. You just can't. Therefore, not only just positions in the church, but in the church within itself, sometimes matters can't be contained to just a conversation between the pastor and a person. Just so you know, I'm not talking about anybody particularly, so don't even have to wonder there. But sometimes a deacon has to be called in, and then with the mouth of two witnesses, we record in our hearts and minds the conversation. They're encouraged to repent. They're encouraged to give it up. But even if they don't give it up then, one of the final steps in church correction is for them to come before the church and make an acknowledgement. If they don't do that, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But for the sake of the body, we have to ask you to leave our fellowship. Now, to you, does that sound crazy to deal with? I mean, to you, does that sound like it's not the right way of doing it? That's the Bible way. And it has to be done. Now, I want to use my thumb for an illustration. I was going to use it at the end of the service. Brother Larry saw my Band-Aid on my thumb this morning. He goes, oh, you got a boo-boo? I said, I do. I'll tell you what, I had this little nick. you know, you get dry hands and you get those little cuts. Man, that thing drove me crazy for a week. And I just let it go. I did. I just keep letting it go. Every time I go to tie a shoe, put on my belt, tuck in my shirt, put on my tie, take money out of my billfold, my text. I mean, there was some point I had to turn my hand. I couldn't even use my thumb to text. I had to use my index finger. It just got in my way every day. It was hindering the overall performance of my whole body. And so you know what the first thing I did this morning? I said, I ain't dealing with this not one more day because I'm ready to live again. I need my thumb back. You have an injured thumb or a toe, a big toe? Like me and Christy were talking this morning too about this on the way to church. You mess up a big toe, you're in trouble. A thumb, you're in trouble. So I woke up this morning, that's enough. I got the ointment out. I got the Band-Aids out. Yes, I was in a rush. Yes, I had to go over things, but I didn't care. I was making time to get my thumb right. I woke up. I applied the ointment. I applied two different kinds of Band-Aids that have the four butterfly Band-Aid or whatever you call it. I put one way, strapped it. Put one on the top, strapped it underneath. Squeezed on to make sure that thing was good. And, man, it's like instant healing. It feels so good right now. It does. I mean, it's still an inconvenience because it's wrapped up in the Band-Aid. I still can't text right. I still got, but I'm on my road to healing. I am. I tell you what, Brother David, this time tomorrow I expect to have a better thumb. You know, it's hindering my eating, brother. I have to eat with my left hand. But you know what? For the sake of the body, for the sake of my whole body, I had to handle business this morning. And for the sake of the body of Christ, listen, it is hurtful, it is painful, even at times we let it go on because we don't want to deal with it because of the pain. But eventually, for the sake of the whole body, we have to bandage that thing up so we can be on our road to a healthier church. So, this is the only thing I want to say about that, and then we'll move on. The last thing I'll say about it. The first step is restoration in any situation of offense. Your brother offends thee, go to him. That's the first step. And so that's always our first attempt in church, in our social lives, is if there's an offense, go to him. Talk it out. Try to settle that thing. The very, very last step would be having them ask them to leave. Now, I said all that, and I'll say this, and try to get us to a good stopping point in just a minute. Hezekiah, he was courageous. He handled business at the house of God. They took out the trash. And my challenge to the fathers this morning, since it is Father's Day, would be this, that there needs to be a change of administration within our hearts. We need to take out the trash. Take out the trash. Be more like Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a very courageous man. So this morning we see that he was godly. Number two, he was courageous. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this next one, but I'll mention a couple things. We'll bring it to a landing here in just a moment. He was courageous, but he was focused. Now, we're in 2 Chronicles. Turn over, if you would, to the right, to Isaiah 38 for just a moment. Isaiah 38. Hezekiah was at a place in his life where the Assyrian army and its leader had threatened Israel, taunted Hezekiah, taunted him himself and his God. And so therefore, Hezekiah was in a desperate place, I guess we could say, in his leadership. He was desperate. He felt intense pressure, not only from the enemy, but from his own body. Look at verse number 1 of Isaiah 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Okay, so we see that Hezekiah is in a bad place. The prophet Isaiah came and told him he's not going to live. Set your house in order. Verse number 2, we see that Hezekiah was focused. Verse 2 says, Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Listen to his prayer. And said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city. Hezekiah was a focused man. He was a focused man. He was sick, but also the enemy was on his path and taunting him and his God. Now, this sickness, a lot of people have wondered and speculation around this sickness, but later on, if you'd like, go read verse number 21. Verse number 21 speaks of a boil, some kind of bull. And I went back and did some reading on that and come to find out there is a certain kind of disease that this might have been called a bubonic disease. And deals with a boil that is so infected that it could cost you your life. You know, boils, however you want to say it, carry infection and it could cost a person's life. And so this is what Hezekiah most likely was dealing with. Think about it for just a moment. Here he was in his administration. He was trying to undo everything his father had done. He made his choice to follow God. And the Bible just now mentions, at least in Isaiah, that he had a physical infirmity. He never let it get in the way of him serving the Lord, though. He had this bull, and no doubt he was probably close to his death because of that, but also because of the enemy. He was just in a desperate place, a place of hardship where Isaiah comes in and he says, Listen, Hezekiah, God's given me a word and you're going to die. Set your house in order. He says in verse 1, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die, not live. Did you know the only thing Hezekiah could do? He was so overwhelmed, so taken back by his circumstance. The only thing he could do was turn over and pour his heart out. He was right at the wall. He turned over and prayed toward the wall. He did not say, Lord, heal my body. He did not say, Lord, give me the victory. But he reminded the Lord of himself and his faithfulness to the Lord. He said, Lord, I didn't hold back. God, I went when you said go. I've honored you. God, the enemy's on my back. I have physical pain that I haven't even uttered to people. And now, Lord, the prophet comes in and says, I'm about to die. Has anybody been there before? Where you were so beaten down and bogged down and listen, you've got so many pains in your body that you don't even begin to tell people. They wouldn't understand. And you couldn't expect them to understand on the level you're hurting. And then you have the enemy on your back too. The devil has told you that you'll never enjoy life again physically. you're struggling financially. Maybe you're even struggling maritally. You're trying to be the parent you should be parentally. And all of these things are weighing on you, and you feel like you're going to die, and you feel like there's never going to be a brighter day. All you could do is just turn around to the wall and pray. Can I say that's the very best thing to do? Many, many, many of prayer lives have been birthed out of difficult circumstances that are so overwhelming. Hezekiah was just a focused man. He didn't give up mentally. He didn't mentally have a descend and just say, you know what, I quit, I give up. But he turned his face to the wall and he poured out his heart. God, I've served you. God, I've loved you. My heart's been perfect or mature. It's been all after you, Lord. And he just started weeping. I believe it was because of the singleness of heart of Hezekiah as to why God answered his prayer the way he did. And so God answered his prayer. He said, I'm going to give you, notice this, verse number 5, in the latter part of verse 5, behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. That's wonderful, isn't it? But he didn't say he was going to heal him. Listen, I'm not trying to overemphasize or over-spiritualize anything, but if he added life, it could have been 15 years of continual struggle like this, where he felt like he was going to die. We don't know the kind of 15 years he had. We just know that God added 15 years. But I believe with the 15 years he added, he gave him grace to get through those years. This morning, God gives us grace when we pour out our hearts with a singleness bent toward him. When we're after God, when we are in a place of desperation, there's no one else to turn to. We turn to him and pray. God has a way of supplying grace to us. He has a way of supplying grace. And so Hezekiah was added 15 years. And not only did God add 15 years, but we see that God defended him and promised to continue. Verse 6 says, and I will deliver thee out of this city, out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. God said to Hezekiah, you ain't got to do it all. I will defend the city. You take care of you. I'll give you grace. I will defend the city. God has a way of, when we come to him in prayer, he has a way of taking care of all the things in life we try to take care of. God has a way. He'll take care of the city. We take care of us. Come around with a song this morning. There's power in prayer when we pray with all of our hearts. Hezekiah wasn't specific. He just reminded God of his walk. Let me mention one last thing as they come. Not only he was focused, but he was victorious. God said again in verse number 5, that latter part, he's going to add 15 years. And then in verse number 6, he said he would defend him. And so we have a victorious Hezekiah. We have a focused Hezekiah. We have a courageous Hezekiah. We have a godly Hezekiah. This morning, we felt impressed to just mention some things, an overview of the life of Hezekiah. And again, it's Father's Day, so I'd be amiss not to challenge specifically us fathers. And so I challenge us fathers this morning to make a choice today. When we get tomorrow, we'll make a choice. And the next day, a choice. But today, let us choose to follow God wholeheartedly. We all have stuff that we deal with, don't we? We're men. We have stuff we deal with. Women have stuff they deal with. But let us fathers, let us men, make a choice to follow God wholeheartedly, to take out the trash, and allow our hearts to be a sanctuary for Almighty God, where he can use us and be a blessing and a help to others through us. And if we do that, you know He's going to take care of us as we take care of others. But not only fathers, but mothers, again, sisters and brothers, this is a call to all Christians to follow God and not the ways of the world. And God will bless you. Father, we love You today. We thank You. We praise You for who You are. Give liberty during this time of invitation, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet if you need to come and pray or come and praise the Lord, whatever you want to do. There's some coming. Maybe you need to come this morning. The altar is a place for praise as well. If you just want to come, thank Him. Every situation, any need, you can come. Still have one praying, a couple maybe. If you need to come, you come this morning. We'll give it another moment or two. You need to respond. Brother Dion has something he wants to share while we allow this one to continue to pray. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And of course, we were praying for Miss Elna, and we know it's going to follow suit. Know it is. And What a blessing. Tremendous, tremendous blessing to share on Father's Day. God is good. God is good. We will, our closing prayer, we will tell you, we'll mention you, Miss Ellen, in our closing prayer. And good to have Miss DNA. Is that right? DNA? DNA? Yeah, that's close enough, huh? Hey, I can't even hardly say my own name. But so good to see you, too. But we'll have a closing prayer for Miss Elna. And I know there's some others. Miss Shauna Bendy, she has been in the hospital the entire week. So just not sure. Michael is just about at wit's end. So I told him, I texted him the other day. I said, brother, I said, I'm speechless. I just don't know what to say. I said, I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. So let's remember them in prayer as well. And let's see. How are we going to do this? Okay. All right. All fathers, would you please come forward? All fathers. We did this on Mother's Day with a little gift. So all fathers, if you would, come down for your edible gift. Come on, somebody has to make the first move now. Don't. We love pies around here. Come on. Come on down. Come on down. The pies are right. And we'll take a photo. And then we'll pray for Miss Elna. And these other needs, and then we'll leave you to yourselves today. Yeah, come on down. Oh, I was wondering why everybody went in the middle. Awesome, awesome. Okay, what now, Miss Christy? Everybody grabs a pie? Okay, one or two. If you're under 200 pounds, you only get one. Over 200, two, and if you're over three, buddy, you get all you want. Yeah, y'all help yourself. Yeah, David knows what he's doing. Yeah, David knows what he's doing going last, don't you? You bet and clean up, it's brother. Brother Michael. Doing, brother? Good. Doing good. How are you, brother? That's it. I hear you. Hey. Yeah, living it up. Living it up, huh? Man, we got a lot of pies left. Go ahead, hey. Yeah. Okay. Okay. What's that? Yeah, I am. Yeah. All right. Maybe I should have done the spiritual thing first before the physical thing. But we do want to close in prayer this morning and lift up Miss Elna and her upcoming appointment and the Bendys. But also, we just got a full list. The memorial service of Miss Frances Carroll was this past week. Pray for Brother Gerald. And good to see Miss Mary Ann with us this morning. She just had the memorial service for her sister. Was that right down in Ocala? So she's back with us. Good to see Miss Mary Kelly as well and all the others with us this morning. There's a lot going on, but let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Tell you what, Brother Ceylon, it's been a while since I've called you up to pray for us. Would you just come on up or pray there, whatever you want to do, brother.